Blog Talk Radio.
Transaction was disturbing to many observers.
Why did our government not require the bank creditors to take the lead and bear some of the cost in any plan to stabilize AIG? You, in effect, nationalized the company and let the bank creditors off the hook. Why did you, as president of the New York Fed, not work out an arrangement to remove the London unit from the company rather than allowing the unit to infect the entire company?
If we had had the types of bankruptcy procedures we have for banks, it is possible that ultimately we could have done that. And if it would have been easy and cheaper for the taxpayer for us to separate the riskiest parts of the firm from the healthy, profitable insurance companies, we would do that. And in fact, that is the core of the restructuring strategy the company is now undertaking. But that choice was not available to us at the time. If it had been possible, of course we would have done that. But because we did not have the tools that we have under bankruptcy, we did not have that choice.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Your phone logs from the subpoenaed material this committee requested, which I would like to insert in the record, show between September 14th and November 26th, the critical period when the bailout occurred, and just after September 15th, when the three major rating agencies downgraded AIG's credit rating, you made hundreds of calls. And the most, over 225, to Secretary Paulson, who was then Secretary of Treasury. What firm did he work for prior to his appointment as Secretary of Treasury?
He worked for Goldman Sachs.
He worked for Goldman Sachs. Now, Goldman Sachs, as I understand it, got the most in counterparty payments of any domestic institution. Is that true, $14 billion?
I actually don't know if it's that true, but that's a matter of public record.
Société Générale got the most from an international firm, but Goldman Sachs was number one. Now, you made about 100 calls to Federal Chair, Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, but then the next highest number of calls in that period, you made 103 to a man named Dan Jester, breaking the chairman out. May I just ask, what firm did he work for?
He worked, as you know, he worked for Goldman Sachs.
Thank you, and I will have additional questions with regard to who you phoned, and we will place that in the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I just say one thing in response to this? I just want to say it's very important. Congressman, you were suggesting that the people that were involved in this were not acting in the public interest, and you were suggesting that they were working for the private interest, not the public interest. And that is not true. I would never, and I believe none of those individuals would be ever part of any decision like that. And I think these people were people of enormous integrity and experience operating under exceptional circumstances with no precedent, doing the best they could for what was in the public interest.
That's a lying sack of crap. That's why he is so highly placed. So many places in government, and as Secretary Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury. I thought that was pretty good. What did you think, Lyle?
She put him right on the spot. Good for her. She knew her facts.
Yeah, and to let him know that she
knows what the deal is.
Yeah, and everybody knows.
I'm glad
to Johnny Doe, whoever he was, who posted
it. Thank you very much.
That he was able to catch that. And but this one, this is pretty sick. This shows the kind of crook that Bill Clinton really is.
Yeah. Clinton collected $50,000 per month from MF Global.
MF Global, for those of you who don't know.
Didn't they just tank?
They just tanked, stealing $600 billion.
That's Corzine, right?
Yeah, $600 billion of their creditors' money. Of their,
a former FM Global employee accused former President William Clinton of collecting $50,000 per month through his Tanesco advisory firm in the months before the brokerage careened towards its Halloween filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Tenio was hired by MF Global's former CEO, John S. Corzine, to improve his image, to enhance his connections with Clinton's political family, said the employee who asked that his name be withheld because he feared retribution. Yeah, anybody criticizes Bill Clinton, they don't have a long and happy life. They were supposed to be helping Corzine improve his image as CEO. I guess you can tell how well that went. He said Corzine resigned as CEO and chairman November 4th. Before Corzine joined MF Global in May 2010, the firm was a smart and well-run commodities broker, a culture that was turned upside down by his leadership style, he said. The traders would be shaking their heads, he said. They would come back to their desk and say, well, I thought we were going to this, but Corzine would come by and do something else all by himself, he said. The Tenio contract with MF Global lasted at least 5 months, he said. The board canceled it after Corzine resigned. The source, who is no longer associated with MF Global, said Tenio is a dual-track company with one side devoted to merchant and investment banking and the other side set up to provide image and strategy consulting services. Clinton is the chairman of the company's advisory board. His duties and compensation have not been released. The other member of the board is former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Oh, two of the three founding partners are very close to the former president and his wife, Secretary of State Hillary R. Clinton. They are Douglas J. Band, who is the former president's counsel and served on his personal staff since 1995, and Declan Kelly, who earned the Hillraiser status in the secretary's 2008 run for president for bundling more than $100,000 for the campaign. Another prominent member of Clinton's political family is Tom Shea. Shea is a senior vice president for Tenio Strategy and served as Corzine's chief of staff when Corzine was the governor of New Jersey. Kelly sold his public relations firm Financial Dynamics in 2006 to FTI for $340 million and stayed with that company until July of 2009, when he joined the State Department as the economic envoy to Northern Ireland. The source says Kelly was given a job they created out of our whole cloth. The job did not exist previously. He basically got to ride around developing a book of business while he waited for his non-complete clause to run out. Kelly and the former president traveled together networking and making introductions at international conferences and events, he said. The Secretary of State also traveled with Kelly, including the October 2010 U.S. Northern Ireland Economics Conference, which Kelly organized, at which the Secretary was the featured speaker. The Secretary announced that she accepted Kelly's resignation May 11th. Tenio landed his first major client June 1st when the Rockefeller Foundation gave Tenio a
$3,444,000.
Sorry, they didn't bother to put in the extra zeros, but they put in the comma there.
6 month
contract to help the foundation's 2013 centennial. The foundation is another member of Clinton's extended family. It gave Clinton its Lifetime Innovation Achievement Award July 27th, and the foundation is listed as a between 1 to 5 million contributor to the William J. Clinton Foundation, along with several members of the Rockefeller family who are listed as individual contributors. The preparation of the story in several emails and phone calls were placed to Tenio, MF Global, and the State Department for comment. In each case, there was no response.
That tells you the crookedness.
And that was
Clinton,
and that was written by Neil W. McCabe.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you.
It was posted on their human events. So it just knocks me out, you know.
Make you sick.
The crookedness of these guys, you know. I got a couple of really good health issues tonight that I want to talk about, too, including chicken, which I was, which made me kind of upset. But let's see. I wanted to go to. Sorry, I got here. I have some other. This one. We'll do some. I want to do some health because I got about three or four articles that are critical on this. New Zealand food bill. Okay, is to make growing food a government privilege rather than a human right. Imagine that. So people in New Zealand grow their own food.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're putting a prohibition on backyard foods and stuff.
Well, they're trying to do that here.
Yeah, I know. Natural. Come on now. God.
What is she doing?
I got a cat here. The cat keeps wanting to crawl behind the credenza and make noise. And
here, I'll take it.
They're not paying attention to her.
The God-given human right to freely cultivate food is under attack in New Zealand as special interest groups and others are currently attempting to push food push a food security bill through the nation's parliament. I thought I was going to do a better job with her. Sorry.
That will strip individuals of their right to grow food, save seeds, and even share the fruits of their labor with friends and family members.
In accordance with the World Trade Organization's Codex Alimentarius scheme for global food control, the New Zealand Food Bill, if passed, will essentially transfer primary control of food from individuals to corporations. Oh, great. Under the guise of food safety, and unless massive public outcry and awakened consciences within the New Zealand government are able to put a stop to it, the bill could become law very soon. Don't we already have that in place here?
They haven't really acted on it. Well, they are acting on it, actually, because they're closing. They're attacking
small family farms and organic
producers. And,
not exactly backyard farmers, but
markets and all kinds. They're going after all kinds of people here.
According to New Zealand Food Security Group working to protect the food freedom of New Zealanders, the bill will turn growing and sharing food into a government-granted privilege rather than a human right. It will also make it illegal to distribute any type of food based on the language's bill that includes seeds, nutrients, natural medicines, minerals, and even water without express government permission. You see, agribusiness giants like Monsanto want full control of the food supply, which means putting an end to small-scale agricultural schemes that operate off the grid, so to speak. That is why they have worked so hard in places like the U.S. to convert conventional staple crop systems to genetically modified ones that are continually relying upon new seeds and chemical interventions. As far as enforcement, the New Zealand bill also authorizes private companies to deploy food safety officers that can raid private property without warrants. Not only would these food safety officers be permitted to draw weapons against those who they are pursuing, but they also will be immune from criminal and civil prosecution for their illegal actions.
Yeah, so nice. You grow a tomato in your backyard and they can come and shoot you. You know,
and take your tomato.
Sons of bitches. This is New Zealand, but boy, I'll tell you, it's here. It's coming here, folks.
It's already here.
This is the world.
We've already passed those laws. They just haven't acted against individuals quite yet.
That's right. And some they have. They're doing it out west, and they're doing it in the Midwest quite a bit. So it's like, it's really... This one was kind of interesting, too. Five things you can do right now to help stop the economic plundering of our world. This is by Natural News as well. The economic plundering of our world is well underway, with the Goldman Sachs white shoe boys taking over entire national economies as they confiscate the wealth of the working class. They aren't the only evildoers wreaking havoc across the world, of course. A cabal of powerful and criminally insane corporations are destroying the future of food, plotting to keep citizens suffering from disease, and even perpetrating war so they can earn obscene profits from selling more bullets, bombs, and missiles. You can help resist this economic imperialism by taking simple actions that protect your wealth and pull it out of the hands of the globalists who are actively destroying our world. Here are five of the most powerful action steps to take that can turn the table and restore economic sovereignty at every level, household, community, state, nation, and the entire globe. Number one, shop at local farmers markets, food co-ops, and local grocers. Stop buying Tyson chicken, stop buying Monsanto engineered GMO foods at the grocery store, stop giving your money to food industry globalists such as ADM, Cargill, and PepsiCo. Every time you buy a can of brand-name soda, a carton of genetically modified soy milk, or a bag of popular snack chips, you are financially supporting a system of global agricultural poverty and food domination that destroys life and liberty. If you shop based solely on price and not ethics, you are taking part in an economic destruction of our world. Shop local, buy organic, and avoid all the corporate food giants and their deceptive, dishonest packaged foods. Now, if you can do it, folks, you know, not everybody can do that. It's not always available, you know. But, you know, if you can, wherever you can, if you can afford to, do it. You know, buy at local farms, buy at, you know.
Well, even in the
try
now, they have farmers markets and things.
Right. Try to avoid the supermarkets. Want to read the next one or not? Pull your money out of the big banks and put it in the local credit unions.
When you deposit $1,000 in a globalist bank, they can turn around and do a series of financial... fractional reserve banking transactions, turn that into $9,000 in loans that earn them interest. Inversely, by pulling $1,000 out of a globalist bank like J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, you deny them the ability to make $9,000 in loans, thus shrinking their profits by a significant factor. One of the most powerful and honest strategies you can use to protect your own savings and stop financially supporting the financial crooks who are running the largest banks is to move your money to a local credit union. Most credit unions by law cannot bet on derivatives, so they don't have that 68 plus trillion in financial exposure that the Bank of America has right now. Of course, your local credit unions are normally not insured by the FDIC, but that's actually a bonus because the FDIC will itself be insolvent in the first 24 hours of a true banking debt collapse. Its own funds are a pittance compared to the scale of the global derivatives debt possessed by the banks it claims to insure. You're far smarter holding your money in a local credit union covered by an independent insurance agency that has nothing to do with large global banks and their coming derivatives disasters.
And it should be known, though, that one of the biggest problems, like we think, yeah, he's right about putting $1,000 equals, you know, to the bank. And can lend out, for every 1,000 on deposit, a bank can lend out $9,000, or for every dollar, they can lend out $9. But the strange thing, the insanity of that is that the Federal Reserve has come along, and banks can now buy their money, okay?
Yeah.
From the Federal Reserve. Guess who the Federal Reserve is, folks? Us, all right? It really is us.
So they just print more money,
which is what all money is. If you look at the dollar or any paper dollar, it is a note, a promissory note to the Federal Reserve. You know, backed by the work of the people, the U.S. taxpayer. So it's like you pay taxes, you're paying this out. Okay. And, you know, but they're giving it away at 0.1%, all right, to the banks. They're giving your money at point, then they're going, the banks, in turn, are charging you, all right.
For your money.
They can charge you 20%, 30%, 4%, 35% on credit cards. Astronomical crazy amounts of money, okay, that they're getting from borrowing from the Fed for practically nothing. Okay, and that money, your money, which you wind up owing the Federal Reserve. Okay, that's the way that it works.
System.
It's a really shitty system. Stop working for the man as a wage slave. If you punch a clock working for the man, then you're part of the problem. Every hour of your effort goes to keep propping up the very system that's bringing you down. It's difficult, of course, to find work these days, and it's absolutely true that man pays double or even triple the wages of anyone else. Heck, even TSA jobs come with great pay, government health benefits, and the administrative right to sexually molest innocent people, which is a real bonus to some of the disturbed psychopaths who take those jobs in the first place. If you want to stop working for the man, you are going to have to downsize your material wealth and instead be content to possess spiritual wealth. All right? That's one way to do it. But, you know,
people have to eat.
You got to eat, you know. And, yes, you might live in a smaller house, blah, blah, blah. But, see, that's playing right. See, I don't agree with this because that's playing right in the hands of what they want. They want people to
have nothing.
Have nothing. Okay, they want to ruin the middle class. They want to, you know, destroy it. And that's what the whole thing is about. But this plan of eating air, I don't think I buy that though. Trade soon to be useless paper currency for real goods. All right, that might work. Are you still sitting on a bunch of paper currency and holding it will somehow be worth the same amount in 5 years? Stop kidding yourself. The value of all the top global currencies is eroding by the hour. At times, it seems like it's not happening because they're all eroding together. So the relative valuation between currencies appears to be deceptively stable. But underneath it all, global currency devaluation has viciously accelerated, and both the European Central Bank and Federal Reserve are committed to printing even more counterfeit currency to further speed the process. And by the time all the European banks are bailed out, and the U.S. banks are bailed out, and the Canadian and Australian banks are bailed out, if you're still left holding hyperinflated currencies like the U.S. dollar, you're going to be lucky to still own 10 cents on the dollar in terms of today's purchasing power. That's why smart people are exchanging their soon-to-be-worthless currencies for real things that that hold real value. Dirt, which is farmland, gold, silver, quality firearms, stored goods, hand tools, tractors, and much more. We recently ran an article promoting Himalayan salt lamps, which are an easy way to store 3 to 4 pounds of valuable full-spectrum salt, while also using it as a lamp in the short term. All 1,000 of the lamps had been sold out in 6 hours, which just shows, it goes to show you that natural news resources are getting it. They understand the value of having things of real worth rather than sitting on mere dollars.
Stop voting for politicians funded by Wall Street.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Okay, yeah. Wall Street Bank is. This is perhaps the most important yet most difficult. Principal of all, stop voting for politicians and bureaucrats who are propped up by the bankers' money. It's almost impossible to do, of course, since nearly all politicians across the political spectrum take big money from the big banking cartels. Obama himself is deeply in bed with Wall Street interests, but so is Bush and others. Herman Cain, who thankfully dropped out of the Republican race just a couple of days ago, was a Federal Reserve insider. Oh, God, no wonder we have so many problems. He's such an idiot. You couldn't pick a more compromised candidate to try to fix the economy when he's part of the very system of theft that's destroying it. The only real candidate who would change the economic plunder of our world is, of course, Ron Paul. He's the guy who has stood firm on the principle of auditing the Fed and even ending the Fed so that the money supply of America can be put back into the hands of Congress and not a private banks to cartel run by globalist crooks. Do these 5 things now if you want to help save your nation from total economic destruction. Right now, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Libertarian, one of the most patriotic things that you can do is to save your nation to follow these 5 steps and start redirecting your financial resources away from the globalist toward your local community. Support small local businesses. Support local financial institutions. Don't buy the stock of the evil corporations, even if they pay financial dividends. Vote for candidates who operate with consistent ethics, not the ones who give the slickest speeches and promise the most handouts. Put your time, money, and effort into restoring your nation, or you will lose your nation. Every dollar you spend, save, or invest in profit-driven bank or evil corporation giant is a dollar that will one day be used to wage economic warfare against you and your own children. Think about what you're doing. Save yourself, my friends, because all the other big players out there would far prefer to enslave you rather than set you free.
Oh, that's good news. There's something you can do. I don't particularly think they've got the right idea there on a lot of some of the issues, yeah. Some, no. Not practical. But you got to be practical if people are going to do it. Yeah, this one disturbed me as well. Oh my God. More than 75% of all honey sold in grocery stores contain no honey at all, by definition. because those cute little bear-shaped bottles at the grocery store say honey on them does not necessarily mean that they actually contain honey. A comprehensive investigation conducted by Food Safety News has found that the vast majority of so-called honey products sold at grocery stores, big box stores, drug stores, and restaurants do not contain any pollen, which means they are not real honey. For the investigation, Von Bryant, one of the nation's leading
paleontologist, or experts in identifying pollen and honey, and director of the Paleontology Research Laboratory at Texas A&M University, evaluated more than 60 products labeled as honey that have been purchased by FSN from 10 states in the District of Columbia. Bryant found that 76% of honey samples purchased from major grocery store chains like Kroger and Safeway, and 77% of samples purchased from big box chains like Sam's Club and Walmart did not contain any pollen. Even worse, there were honey samples taken from the drugstore like Walgreens and CVS and fast food restaurants like McDonald's and KFC, 100% of which were found to contain not a trace of pollen. So what is all this phony honey made of? It's difficult to say for sure, as pollen is the key to verifying that honey is real. According to the FSN, much of the imposter honey is more likely being secretly imported from China and may even be contaminated with antibiotics and other foreign materials. Most conventional honey products have been illegally ultra-filtered to hide their true nature. According to FSN, the lack of pollen is in most conventional honey products is due to these products having been ultra-filtered. This means they've been intensely heated, forced through extremely tiny filters, and potentially even watered down or adulterated in some way prior to hitting store shelves. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration holds the position that so-called honey products that have been ultra-filtered are not actually honey, but the agency refuses to do anything to stop this influx of legitimate honey from flooding North American markets. It also continues to stonewall all petitions to establish a national regulatory standard for verifying the integrity of honey. Go ahead.
Ultra-filtering eliminates and destroys all medicinal properties of honey. Assuming that there is any real honey at all in the phony honey products tested by Food Safety Network, removal of pollen and other delicate materials via ultra-filtering renders them medicinally dead. Raw honey is a health-promoting food that can help alleviate stomach problems, anemia, allergies, and other health conditions. Ultra-filtered honey is nothing more than a health-destroying processed sugar in the same vein as white table sugar or high-fructose corn syrup. The good news is that all the honey products FSN tested from Tanner's Market, food cooperatives, and natural stores like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods were found to contain pollen and a full array of antioxidants and other nutrients. Local beekeepers are another great source of obtaining raw, unprocessed real honey. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you can read the entire report on foodsafetynews.com. /2011/ Right.
That's
so, yeah, isn't that
a little bit scary?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought what I thought was honey from.
Oh my God. I gotta tell you, you gotta go to Natural News, folks. Naturalnews.com. It's a wealth of incredible information. Here's another one that I want to read. One of the world's most expensive food is made from bird saliva. For more than 400 years, bird's nest soup has long been one of the most expensive foods in the world. And even today, a single bowl of it costs between $30 and $100.
I would need something like that.
Yeah. You can't just make it out of any bird's nest. Only the edible nest of the cave swiftlet will do. a nest made entirely out of the bird's saliva. These nests are high in calcium, iron, magnesium, and potassium. They are hard when harvested, but partially dissolve into a more jelly-like consistency when boiled into soup. Cave swiftlets nest high up on a sheer rock wall inside pitch-dark caves where they build sticky nests out of their own saliva. Traditionally, these nests can be harvested only by climbing on ladders up into the heights of these caves, a difficult and fairly dangerous undertaking. Today, the swiftlets are encouraged to build their nests in artificially constructed concrete nesting houses. Even so, the harvested nests still sell for as much as $10,000 per kilogram. That's kilograms, kilos of 2 pounds, I think. Perhaps due to the high mineral content of the nest, eating them is believed to enhance lung health, prevent coughs, improve constitution, and even promote longevity. The nests are nearly 50% protein and 30% carbohydrates, with a relatively small amount of inorganic salts and fibers. So, bird's nest soup, folks, yes, nothing like it. Yum.
I don't think I could eat that.
I don't know if I could either. Kind of nasty toss out of. This one, I already had this one, and I wanted to read it tonight, but we'll do it now. The FDA finally admits that chicken meat...
We read that before.
...contains cancer-causing arsenic?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A while ago, they had an article very similar, yeah.
Yeah, it was, because this was back in June, but it came out again. I just saw it again.
Because I remember reading it.
Okay. So anyway, don't eat it. You don't want to read it again?
Well, my voice is a little bit. You could read a little bit of it.
I think it's important to read it.
Just let people know what's going on with that.
It's good.
I eat a lot of chicken. I'm sure we do.
We just had chicken tonight.
And I'm sure everybody does. Sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's probably not the best thing for you, but geez, it's, you know.
Well, neither is anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's. After years of sweeping the issue under the rug and hoping no one would notice, the FDA has finally admitted that chicken meat sold in the U.S. contains arsenic, a cancer-causing toxic chemical that is fatal in high doses. But the real story is, there is arsenic. Where does arsenic come from? It's added to the chicken feed on purpose.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Even worse, the FDA says its own research shows that the arsenic added to chicken feed ends up in the chicken meat and where it is consumed by humans. So for the last 60 years, American consumers who eat conventional chicken have been swallowing arsenic, a known cancer-causing chemical. Until a new study, both the poultry industry and the FDA denied that arsenic fed to chickens ended up in their meat. The fairy tale, excuse story, we've all been told, fed for 60 years, that arsenic is excreted in the chicken feces.
Yeah.
There's no scientific basis for making such a claim. It's just that the poultry industry wanted everybody to believe. But now the evidence is so undeniable that the manufacturer of chicken feed products known as Roxorsone has decided to pull the products off the shelves. And what's the name of the manufacturer that has been putting arsenic in the chicken feed for all these years?
Oh, God.
Pfizer, of course. This very same company that makes vaccines containing chemical adjuvants that are injected into children.
Yeah.
Technically, the company making the Roxorsone chicken feed is a subsidiary of Pfizer called Alpharma LLC. Even though Alpharma now has agreed to pull its toxic feed chemical off the shelves in the United States, it says it won't necessarily remove it from the feed products in our countries unless it is forced by regulators to do so.
Oh,
now, tell me, why would they even put this in? I mean, you know.
It's a pretty long article, yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting to know why they would even put this shit in there, right? Eat arsenic, eat more. But even as its arsenic-containing product is pulled off the shelves, the FDA continued its campaign of denial, claiming arsenic in chickens is at such a low level that it is still safe to eat. This is even as the FDA says arsenic is a carcinogenic, meaning it increases the risk of cancer. The National Chicken Council agrees with the FDA in a statement issued in response to the news that Roxorzone would be pulled from the feed stores. It stated chicken is safe to eat, even while admitting arsenic was used in making flocks grown and many flocks grown and sold. Why would they use it? What is astonishing about it is that the FDA tells consumers it's safe to eat cancer-causing arsenic, but it's dangerous to drink elderberry juice. The FDA recently conducted an armed raid in an elderberry juice manufacturer, accusing it of the crime of selling unimproved drugs. Which drugs would those be? The elderberry juice, explains the FDA. You see, the elderberry juice magically becomes a drug if you tell people how it can help support good health. The FDA has also gone after dozens of other companies for selling natural herbal products that enhance and support health. Plus, it's waging a war on raw milk, which it says is dangerous. So now in America, we have a food and drug regulatory agency that says it's okay to eat arsenic, but dangerous to drink elderberry juice or raw milk.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. And eat more poison. In other words,
don't
consume any healing foods. That's the FDA killing off Americans one meal at a time while protecting the profits of very companies that are poisoning us with their deadly ingredients.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, here's another sweet little disturbing fact about that you probably didn't know about hamburgers and conventional beef. Chicken litter containing arsenic is fed to cows in factory beef operate. Oh my God. So the arsenic that pooped out of the chickens gets consumed and concentrated in the tissues of cows, which is then ground into hamburger to be consumed by the clueless masses who don't even know they're eating secondhand chicken shit. Man.
That's probably what we're eating. Don't want to eat hamburger, can't eat chicken, can't eat pork, nothing left.
I mean, it's really getting down to, and then your vegetables, unless you grow them or get them organic, they're loaded with chemicals or they're GMO, non-labeled GMO. So it's like, man, I don't know, just doesn't seem to get, it seems to be an endless stream
of stuff that's bad for you.
And if that's not bad enough, warning, flu shots are coming to your church. Yes, folks, coming to your church.
Go to church, heed this warning. This is from Mercola.com.
Yeah, if you go to church, heed this warning.
I just read that. Recently, the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships held an invitation-only call. The call was co-sponsored by the U.S. Health and Human Services, the Office of Minority Health and CDC. Conspicuously, the end of the invitation read, "This call is off the record and is not for press purposes, but it became public when it showed up on the HHS website. Fortunately, one of our staff was able to get on the call. The focus of the call was on getting the faith-based organizations to sponsor flu clinics with Walgreens. Basically, they want to move inside your church, mosque, or synagogue and set up shop with your pastor, priest, imam, rabbi on hand to convince you to get a flu shot. An example, they cited a priest who stopped in the middle of Mass to roll up his sleeve and get vaccinated, inspiring the rest of his parish to line up behind him." Oh, God almighty.
Yeah,
wouldn't you know
disgusting.
It would be a Catholic?
Yep.
Jeez, it's so brainwashed.
Yeah. Talk to God, get a shot. The idea of holding out your arm and getting a shot in the middle of a worship service with your pastoral leader urging you on really seems to be pushing it.
Oh, yeah.
The reason they're doing this, health officials said on the phone, is that they've found that non-traditional settings such as worship services can be highly effective in influencing people's decisions. Any momo who goes to a church is there to be influenced, no? Am I right?
Yeah, well, they think that God's not going to let them through the pearly gates.
Yeah.
Unless they get a flu shot.
And if they don't recite the Hail Mary for.
Well, that is. That doesn't even have anything to do with this, Leo.
You won't get to heaven. So that's why
they're talking about the flu shot.
I know. So if you don't get a flu shot, you won't go to heaven either.
That's what I'm saying. He'll put you
in heaven faster than if you don't get a flu shot.
Yeah.
But anyway. zeroing on minorities, particularly older adults, blacks and Latinos. This is a quote by a faith-based partnership thing. As trusted messengers, you're able to spread messages and help get people vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they told. Zeroing in on minorities, particularly older adults, blacks and Latinos, health officials said, churches, mosques, and schools are places where barriers to vaccinations can be taken down, and these minorities can be convinced to get vaccinated. Besides hosting flu shot clinics, churches can also help by putting reminders in their bulletins, and by church members personally reminding others to get their shots, officials said. They even went so far as to encourage the churches to pay people's insurance co-pays so that they be more inclined to get the shots. They even went so far as to encourage the churches to pay. Isn't this a great deal? To pay people's insurance copays so they'd be more inclined to get the shots. For those who simply can't pay anything, there'll be 300,000 free shots given out as part of the flu vaccine crusade. And those are all contaminated vaccinations, trust me, things they can't get rid of or the expiration date is gone. I'll bet you. There's millions of those. Who's funding this? The original concept of faith-based and neighborhood partnerships developed in 2001 was to help community leaders enhance the 1998 initiative to eliminate racial and ethnic disparities in health. Right. So by injecting them with fatal vaccines, they take care of that problem, don't they?
They won't be a drain to the economy.
The partnership targets cancer screening, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, infant mortality, HIV, AIDS, and vaccinations. It's also originally covered complementary and alternative health care options, although that type of care, which would include health measures other than vaccines, are not even listed as an option during this phone conference. For at least 10 years, this collaboration of community-based volunteers, nonprofit organizations, and faith-based groups worked at a grassroots level in certain neighborhoods funded by Congress through various health care grants. However, in 2010, the initiative took a turn with the Patient Protection Affordable Health Care Act, which moved the initiative's management to the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, paving the way to federal government to fund and run projects like flu clinics right in your church. Do you want to read more?
I think that's enough about that.
Interestingly, flu shots are already covered by most insurance plans, right? But for some reason, health officials have decided it's okay to push the government into places of worship, mid-service, to sell and administer vaccines.
And what's wrong with them that they're going along with it? Flu shots aren't even effective.
This no press allowed phone call reiterated that over and over again. I can only wonder which vaccine to move into your church next, all in the name of community health. And I'll tell you the truth, folks, and why they're doing this, I'm sure, but there's a lot of religions that refuse vaccinations.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them out there for good reason, okay, because they kill people, It's interesting to note that the Amish do not have autism. I read this. The Amish do not have any autism. Right? The reason for that, they don't allow vaccinations.
No inoculations.
Right? Huh. And they don't have autism. The secret's out. Flu shots are hardly effective at all. All right? There's proof on that. The real way to good health this winter. Statistics like this. So, trying to second guess them. What I'll do is to offer you some good ways to stay healthier. Ultimately, it's a state of your immune system that determines whether or not you will get sick from being exposed to viral or bacterial organisms associated with infectious disease like the flu. The key to boost your immune system, then, and making it a lean, mean, disease-fighting machine, lies in your lifestyle habits, healthy food, stress relief, exercise, sleep, and safe exposure to sunlight, among other things.
Mm.
Artificially manipulating your immune system with a vaccine to try to stay healthy is not the same thing, nor does it produce the same kind of immunity and sought-after disease-fighting result. It may actually make you less healthy in the long run.
Yeah, I think so.
I do, too. And it puts a cancer inside you. It puts a virus in you. Since numerous studies show that vitamin D boosts immunity, particularly vitamin D3, the first thing you want to do is make sure you maintain your vitamin D levels at 50 to 70 ng/mL year-round. The only way you can be sure of what your levels are is to be tested. Okay, for an in-depth explanation of everything you need to know before you get tested, please read the latest updates, test values, and treatment for vitamin D deficiency. All right? So, while supplement is okay, best way to get your vitamin D is safe exposure to sunshine or by using a safe tanning bed. Other things that you can do include eating healthy, avoiding sugars and artificial sweeteners, exercising, and getting enough sleep. I address these issues in my free nutrition plan, and you can get that on this site, Mercola.com. Right? So there. Now we got a few more minutes left. Can you move just a little bit? And I'll see if I got something else here I wanted to play.
Yeah, you got a lot of good stuff today.
Yeah.
I think that thing on Tim Geithner is great. She was terrific. I can't remember what her name was, the person who was...
Kapoor, a Republican.
She was from someplace in the middle of the United States. I don't remember where.
Yeah. And I wanted to play this last night. This is a little long. I might go over a bit, but this...
on Fukushima?
Yeah, I'll go over that. I also wanted to mention that cannabis and marijuana oil destroy leukemia and cancer cells. This was done by a study, and we have time. You can go to realnewsreporter.com and check that one out. But this one here, this was a CBS 60 Minutes video report, but it was only broadcasted in Australia.
Huh.
Never in it. It was Australia's
60 Minutes.
All right, because I never saw it here. We never even heard about it up here until this article happened here. Okay, hang on one second. Let's see. Look at this. Yes. All right. Australia's CBS exposed the unspeakable realities of the Japanese catastrophe in a 60 Minutes program Sunday night, during which leading nuclear scientist Dr. Michio Kaku said radiation from Fukushima will impact all of humanity. Australia's CBS exposed the unspeakable realities of the Japanese catastrophe and its Sunday night and 60 Minutes. But this was in Australia, during which leading nuclear scientist Kaku said radiation destroyed humanity. And I'm going to play you part of this. This is about 13 minutes long, so we're obviously going to go over. But I want to, I thought it might be good to end the show with tonight.
Okay.
So, Japan is using Fukushima people as human guinea pigs.
Oh, gosh.
When Japan was rocked by a massive earthquake and tsunami back in March, we told ourselves the worst was behind us. Tens of thousands dead, an economy shattered. Whole communities razed. Surely the Japanese had suffered enough. But all these weeks later, the crisis is far from over. The crippled Fukushima nuclear plant is still leaking. And judging from the experience at Chernobyl, recovery won't be measured in years, more like centuries. On Japan's eastern shores, where thousands of people once lived, there are now only neat piles of rubble. And an eerie silence to mark the tsunami that so devastated a nation. But it's not long before that silence is shattered, signaling there's another disaster looming.
What's it saying, Frank?
There's nothing like we've had before.
We're heading for ground zero of Japan's nuclear crisis, the meltdown of Fukushima power plant.
Can't stop it.
It's more than 20 kilometres away, but already we're picking up its deadly fallout.
The radiation is building the further we go in, so it's going to be too dangerous to carry on.
So we actually have to stop here?
Yeah. I'm not willing to take you any further.
Radiation expert Frank Jackson and his Geiger counters tell us we've already come too far.
So even protective gear is not enough?
Gamma radiation is it's a stronger form of radiation. It will go through most things apart from lead.
Okay, so that's the sort of radiation we want to avoid.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Fukushima, a major supplier of Japan's power, once looked like this. These shocking new images show the moment the tsunami smashed into the plant, triggering a series of fires and explosions. Just 200 kilometers from Tokyo, three of the six nuclear reactors at Fukushima are now in meltdown, and deadly radiation has already leaked into the sea and air.
They say the reactor accident is stable. Yes, that's true. Stable like you're hanging on the edge of a cliff, hanging by your fingernails, and then one by one your fingernails start to crack. That's stability. In other words, it's a race against time.
If you thought nuclear disaster had been averted in Japan, then meet physicist Michio Kaku.
If you've been exposed to cesium-137 because you're an atomic worker, even after you're long dead and buried, your gravesite will be radioactive.
Mm-hmm.
Your great-grandkids can come to the Geiger counters and see that great-granddaddy still has radiation in his gravesite.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
The death and destruction, the displacement of so many families has been quite shocking. And now, nuclear contamination just adds another layer to what is already an unspeakable tragedy. These were obviously people's homes, but with the nuclear power plant just 20 kilometres that way, any decision to come back, rebuild, could well be out of their hands. More than 135,000 people have been forced to evacuate. The streets in towns and villages are now mostly deserted, and locals have been told their food and water may be contaminated.
Shall we test this?
Same as an X-ray, then, according to this.
Okay. So every time you have a cabbage, you have an X-ray?
Yeah.
Are Japan's radiation refugees. Thousands who are now living in cardboard shelters, sleeping on the floors of public buildings with few possessions and little privacy, and facing a future that doesn't seem to offer much more.
When you look at this, I do feel like I'm looking through someone's window. People have gone to a lot of effort, haven't they, to try and make a cardboard box home to their home.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Some of the photographs and even the windows all drawn and bookshelves all built up.
Fukushima, we've journeyed to the only other place on Earth that has seen such a disaster, Chernobyl. This is Pripyat, once a city of 53,000 people, purpose-built for Chernobyl workers and their families, now a ghost town.
In the morning, It was 34 hours after the accident. They told people to get documents and get outside of the building.
So for the people of that city, they thought...
Well, speed this.
Yeah, definitely.
It is a key...
I wanted to get to...
It becomes very...
They go into stuff out of Chernobyl. But the important thing to note about this is that we actually have a serious problem. And, it's serious to the extent that it's contaminating the entire world.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about it. It's just contaminated. It's done. It's cooked. And,
why don't you give folks that site so they can go to it?
Yeah.
Because we're right at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's... realnewsreporter.com. Check that out for yourself. Fukushima now radiating everyone. Go into the health. If you go into realnewsreporter.com, check out the health section there on the top there that links.
And at this point, we're at the end of the show.
So we are. And I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. Thanks for joining us.
And check some of those things out that we read, and certainly check that latest one out on Fukushima. It's quite alarming.
Yeah, Fukushima. And Chernobyl and everything else. Also check Natural News. You might find some solutions to some of
the problems that we have, too. You know, especially the problems that assault your body.
They have good articles
on things to do.
I mean, Lila and I have been doing this for, 11 years now. Going on 12, we'll be 12, almost 12 years next year. And we've learned so much, you know. We're almost got leather skin. You know?
Not quite. But you know what, folks? There's always more you can learn.
More and more and more stuff coming out all the time.
That's important to try to keep current. We try to bring some stuff to you.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to go and search out for yourself, too. But right now, I'm going to say good night, folks.
Yeah, and me, too. And join me tomorrow when we enter the...